Okay, we're back. Continuing now in Ezekiel 37, where chapter 37, verse 24, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." And of course, here the reference is to the Messiah. "My servant David shall be the prince, their prince forever. And I will make a covenant peace with them, and I shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, these are all allusions to the Messiah and the kingdom that he's going to set up for spiritual Israel. And no, I don't teach replacement theology. I don't believe for a minute that the church replaced the Jews. I don't believe that for a minute. What I believe here is this is the promise. And yes, that the Gentiles or people of the other nations can be grafted in. That is demonstrated exceedingly throughout the Old Testament. You know, you take Rahab, who was, to put it nicely, an innkeeper. When the children of Israel came to Jericho, and she hid the spies, those Hebrew spies that came in. And she, because she had faith in the Hebrew God, and she was taken and grafted in to the Messiah, into the seed line, very seed line of the Messiah. Talk about grafting in. There has always been room in Israel, and what I'm talking about spiritual Israel, not physical Israel, was there. That was a demonstration for us. But beneath that, or I should say above that, really, there was a spiritual Israel. You know, the spiritual Israel that was called out with Abraham when the sojourn of Israel began. Okay, that was a continuation of a holy nation that came down from Adam and Eve. That's why we have the genealogies. There is no replacement theology. There's always only been one holy nation from the beginning of time until Messiah returns. The true Israel of Yahuwah, the true Israel, that spiritual, that holy nation that goes over all the earth. When the Messiah showed up, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He wasn't talking about a physical nation. That demonstration was coming to an end. You know, 70 weeks of years are determined for thy people Israel. It was coming to an end, and it came to an end. Israel's status as a set-apart nation on the earth for that demonstration was over with. Their demonstration now was totally what happens when a nation continually in the flesh turns away from Messiah. It was also a demonstration that no matter how well a nation turns out, because of sin, because of the sin nature of man inherited by the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, that it will never work. There's only one thing that can cleanse a nation, and that is the blood of the Redeemer. His blood cleanses us, but not a nation, really, but cleanses us and gives us entrance. We become he gave us the power to become the sons of God. By his blood, we enter into that new holy nation, the holy Israel of Yahuwah, our Creator, that nation that transcends all temporal national borders, the only nation that will last forever, the vital kingdom that you must be in when you transition from mortality to immortality. Yes, when your mortality comes to an end, you must be in that holy nation. You must be in the kingdom of heaven. by the blood of the Lamb. Because if you're not there, you will not be there forever. You will miss out, and you will go where all of those who are without go. And it won't be pleasant from what I hear. That's what the prophet here is talking about. Now, the futurists and all of the counter-reformation prophecy pundits, the liars, the deceivers, and yes, even the deceived who believe sincerely what they are saying. I was there. I sincerely believed in the futurist thing. So I know what it is to be deceived by that. They want you to believe that this is all about the Jews and what's going on in Israel over there now. And they want to tell you that, you know, that those are still God's set apart nation. When the prophet said 70 weeks are determined, it was over. Their status became equal with the other nations. So let's rightly put this prophecy in its place. This is about the new holy Israel that will survive the end, the 70 weeks that are determined, the holy nation that will survive by the Messiah. See, my servant, David, my servant shall be king over them. One shepherd, they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And that's how do you know you're in his kingdom and he's your king? Well, this king that he's referring to here, the Messiah, he has a kingdom. And a kingdom has power. The power is in its law. He says, he'll be our shepherd, that we will walk in his judgments and observe his statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, and even they and their children and their children's children forever. Yes, we will inherit that land forever. We don't have it now. Some of them had it then that walked there then when they returned out of the land and they followed the Messiah. But we know what happened. They were required. The Messiah warned them to flee. Flee. When you see these signs, he said flee. Because the destruction, the complete desolation that was determined in the 70 weeks prophecy is going to come. And if you don't flee, they're going to kill you with the sword. That is the Romans will kill you with a sword. And then they'll take you captive and sell you as slaves into all the nations. And that is exactly what happened. But we will inherit the land forever. We live a short time in our mortal existence. The promise says that we will be raised, that when we die, we will go to the resurrection when that happens. But we won't know the difference. I mean, that's the next event for us, as far as I know. That's what I see. I have a sister who left off her mortality, this mortal existence, back in 1985. And what would I tell her then? I would say, I'll see you in a minute, because she was departing. I'll see you when you get there, because I'll be there at the same time you will. And here I am, you know, some 25, 30 years later, still seated here in heavenly places in Messiah. But when my mortality ends, I'm going to arrive there at the same time she does. That's the resurrection of the dead in Messiah. That's the promise. And so much more. Then we receive this forever. All of these forever promises, yeah, we'll have forever then. Right now, we have a lot of work to do. If we're following Messiah, then we should be very busy. Because if you're following Messiah, that means you've surrendered your life to him, that you said, I accept the deal, let your blood cover me, and he purchased you with his blood. He owns you. It is your reasonable service to sacrifice your life and give it fully to him, since he purchased it and paid for it with his blood. And he saved you out of all nations from wherever you're at. And he joins you into his holy nation, the holy Israel of Yahuwah, our heavenly Father, our Creator. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Are you part of that covenant? Have you received it? I have. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Is his sanctuary set in the midst of you forever? Does not the scripture say that, don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? That you are a living stone in the temple? Has he not set his sanctuary in the midst of you? And may it be forever? May it be for me. Oh, Heavenly Father, let it be forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel. Sanctify. He sets us apart. We are separate from the world. Come out of her, my people. That's what it means. He says, I, Yahuwah, by name, do set them apart. Do set apart Israel. That's his holy nation, the holy Israel of our Creator, that he's called out of all nations, a spiritual, holy nation. When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. Sounds like the gospel to me. Sounds like the New Testament to me. It can't be anything else. This is about Messiah that he's prophesying. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Verse 25. A covenant of peace, an everlasting covenant. Yes. Hallelujah. I am so glad. Let's move on to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1. And the word of Yahuwah, yes, the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, him by name in the Hebrew there, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the land of Gog. Of uncertain derivation, Gog, the name of an Israelite, also some northern nation, Gog, and Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, Meshach the son of Japheth, the people descendant from him, and Tubal. Now we have a table of nations in the scripture. Perhaps we should take a day just to go through that table of nations. And for reference, you know, it's a good thing to learn. You could Google table of nations or biblical table of nations there, and you can probably find 100 different listings. But, you know, I'll always search it out, look in the scripture for it, and to make sure that you've got a good table of nations to understand what the scripture is talking about when it brings forth some of these things. This chapter and that which follows it are concerning Gog and Magog, a powerful enemy to the people of Israel that should make formidable descent upon them and put them into consternation. But their army should be routed and their design defeated. And this prophecy is most probable had its accomplishment sometime after the return of Israel out of their captivity, whether in the struggles they had with the kings of Syria, especially Antiochus Epiphanes, or perhaps some other way not recorded, we cannot tell. If the sacred history of the Old Testament had reached as far as the prophecy, we should have been better able to understand these chapters. But for want of that key, we are locked out of the meaning of them. God had, by the prophet, assured his people of happy times after they returned to their own land, but lest they should mistake the promises which related to the kingdom of the Messiah and the spiritual privileges of that kingdom of the Messiah and the spiritual privileges of that kingdom as if from them they might promise themselves an uninterrupted temporal prosperity. Here he tells them. And so we have a little bit of insight there from our friend. And I know I've heard all of the futurist prophecy pundits, and they say that the land of Gog and Magog, and they point to Meshach, and they say that. I'm not going to tell you I have all the answers. I'm going to try to put this into the same historical perspective as my good friend Henry. And perhaps, you know, I could just say, Heavenly Father, right now, if this is important, if you can give me an understanding of this prophecy and I can dig the meaning out of your scripture, then so be it. Let it happen. But right now I have, it seems, you know, he may grant that prayer because he's answered many other queries that I have, like about Daniel, the 70 weeks. He gave me that, and he's given me a lot of other insight into things in prophecy, and I am grateful only to the Heavenly Father for that. But all of the futurist prophecy pundits, they have this all put off into the future, and there is a future reference, of course, in Revelation to Gog and Magog, but that is at the end of the seventh millennia or the millennial reign of Christ. And so I'm going to leave that one off in the future where it belongs. Of course, Gog and Magog, we understand our reference to nations that sprung out of some of the early descendants of Abraham and became enemies, like Esau. Edom was an enemy of Israel. So that's what our good friend Henry in his commentary alludes to. But at the same time, he admits to you that it's not quite that sure. But anyway, well, let's see what he says is going to happen. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against it, and say, thus saith the Lord God, that's Adonai Yahweh, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And he lives here, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, and these are still here among us today. We know that Persia is Iran, that area there. Iraq, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya. They're still called Ethiopia and Libya today. And that's, of course, northern Africa, just south of the southern Mideast area there. With them and all with shield and helmet, Gomer with all his bands. And that would be the name of a son of Japheth and his descendants. That's Gomer and his bands, and the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all of his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and it is gathered out of many people. Now, you know, I feel like, and I've read this before, and I had the same feeling, that I've already seen this happen. The 67 war. Perhaps this is an illusion, because it does say, after many days, and many of these nations were part that came against Israel in that the 67 war, where Israel, the national Israel there today, regain much of the land. Could be. It certainly fits. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying it sounds a lot like that. Thou shalt, pick it up here, verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. And that's why I think that perhaps that's it. Thou shalt come into a land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, and which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Well, I don't know how safe they are over there. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many peoples with thee. And this could also be an allusion to, you know, at the end of the millennial reign of the Messiah, the seventh millennia. I believe it's the seventh millennia, where it says that Gog and Magog is mentioned again. This could be that. This could be a reference to that. Maybe what we saw there in the 67 was something that was similar to what we're reading here, so you could easily mistake it. So that's why I say I can't tell you it is or it isn't. It fits both. Maybe it fits the latter one that's mentioned in Revelation even better and places it at the end of that seventh millennia before the new heaven and new earth. Thus saith the Lord God, and that's Adonai, Yahweh, it shall come to pass in that same time shall things come into mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. And see, now that changes things, because that is not Israel today. They all have bars and gates, and their walls all over the place. And they got checkpoints all over the place, and they're not dwelling in safety. Right? But now at the end of a thousand-year millennial reign of the Messiah, yes, this could be a description of that, and it fits. You know, if I have to use Scripture to interpret Scripture rather than conjecture and trying to fit it into the newspapers today or recent history, then I would have to apply this to then, to at that time. Because after, 900 and whatever years of the reign of Messiah, everyone, who's going to need walls and gates? We're going to have the King of Kings reigning on the earth and all nations flowing into Jerusalem. And these nations are going to be tempted because at that time there will be those. You know, the difference between that millennial reign of Christ that we learn from the Messiah is that Satan, the devil, is going to be chained up for 1,000 years. But what is not going to be different is the fallen nature of the mortal men that are living on the earth during that time. That is going to be the same. That's right. That will be the same. It's not going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to be as good as it gets. We're going to have the Messiah reigning, and we're going to have Satan chained up. Satan and his demons chained up. But there will still be the fallen nature to deal with. And you're still going to have the same men, you know, probably in the same proportion on the earth at that time, that will not follow the Messiah, that will lift themselves up in pride and want to go their own way, that will not be a part of his holy nation. I don't know. I know it'll be a lot better. I want to be a part of that. And that's part of the promise that all of us that are living Messiah now, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first when that time comes. And that means all of the dead from the beginning, from Adam and Eve until the time that the Messiah returns, that all of the dead will be raised at that resurrection. And whoever's alive in Messiah at that time will be changed. And we will all be gathered together in Messiah. And of course, there will be people living on the earth at that time too. And I guess that will be mostly unbelievers. It's kind of, and then there will be people being born and dying during that time. This is what I have learned from the Scripture. And I guess we'll talk a little bit more about the millennial reign of Christ and when we get back from this break. You're listening to Cross the Border.